I'm now joined by Jay Jacobs, Head of Research and Strategy at GlobalX ETFs, who currently offers 75 ETFs, about $15.5 billion invested. And I would say without question, they're a leader in the thematic ETF space. And that'll be our topic of conversation this week. Jay is on the line with me from New York. Jay, welcome back to the podcast.
Nate, it's great to be back.
Okay, so I mentioned earlier to CFRA's Todd Rosenbluth, I feel like 2020 has been a real coming out party for thematic ETFs. It seems like there's much more investor interest here, and we're going to cover some specific GlobalX ETFs in a moment. But broadly speaking, what's changed? Like, what's been the catalyst behind this?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. Over the last three quarters, thematic ETF assets have risen from about $28 billion in assets under management to about $59 billion in assets under management. That's basically doubling in growth over three quarters. That's pretty rare in the ETF industry, even though the ETF industry itself is growing very quickly. So I would say the key driver has, of course, first and foremost, been COVID-19. COVID-19 has really driven a wedge between different segments of the economy. We've seen the shift of working in offices to working at home. We've seen the shift from shopping in stores to shopping online. We've seen really a major change in how people are living their lives, and that's really kind of accelerated shifts that we already started to see over the last few years, but now have really accelerated as people have moved to this more digitally enabled economy. So when you look at thematic ETFs, you've seen massive inflows into the ETFs that really stand to benefit from this digitalization. Cloud computing ETFs, for example, went from about $3 billion prior to this year to about $8 billion in assets under management. You've seen growth in video game ETFs, e-commerce ETFs, all different kinds of ETFs that are benefiting from this digitalization and work from home, entertain yourself from home environment.
Jay, taking a step back, and I'm pretty sure I always ask this when talking thematic ETFs, but how do you like to define the space? Because as it grows, I do feel like a lot more ETFs are getting lumped into this category. What should be considered a thematic ETF?
We define thematic ETFs as ones that are trying to capture long-term structural trends that are disrupting aspects of the global economy. This is perhaps a more narrow definition than other people use. Some people use thematic as almost a catch-all for some kind of orphan areas of the market. Maybe ESG funds are lumped in there. Maybe some funds that tap into unique structures like MLPs or SPACs are put in there. But the way we define it is really looking at structural changes. So, based on our categorization, there's about 135 thematic ETFs out there in the market today. And that number has been growing pretty steadily over the last few quarters as people are increasingly incorporating thematic investment strategies into their portfolios.
I was looking at some of your material online at the GlobalX website, and I saw you describe traditional sectors as investing based on the past, right? That we're assuming past winners will continue to win. Whereas thematic investing, you describe that as investing based on the future, that it's forward-looking, who the new winners might be. Do you want to expand on that?
Sure. Well, if you look at sector ETFs, they tend to be market cap weighted, and they tend to invest in companies that have already kind of defined the sector. What I mean by that is there's a committee, the Global Industry Classification System, which is co-run by S&P and MSCI, that basically look at the economy and try to divide it into sectors. And this is not a static thing. Every few years, they kind of revisit those sectors and tend to make changes. So, for example, a few years ago, they broke out real estate from financial services, realizing how big a part of the economy real estate is. And then they also broke apart information technology into info tech and communication services, also kind of repurposing the old telecom sector. So sectors tend to change over time just in their pure definition of what is a sector and what are the sectors that are generally accepted. But usually that's looking backwards. It's after those changes have already happened. Communication services was only created, literally 10, 15 years after social media and search engines had already taken a massive, massive piece of the global economy. So sectors, we believe, are inherently kind of responding to the changes that have already happened in the economy. And then because they're market cap weighted, tend to reflect the companies that have already been the winners over the last few years or even decades within their respective areas. Thematic investing, by contrast, is really trying to look ahead at how the economy is going to change. So when we look at something like video games and esports, what we're saying essentially is that the way that people consume content, the way that they socialize with their friends, the way that they entertain themselves is evolving from a more physical in-person experience to a more digital interactive experience. There isn't really a way to play that very well in the sector space right now. It sometimes cuts across sectors into information technology on the hardware side or communication services on the software side. So if you're trying to play, a theme like video games and esports using sector ETFs, you're basically using a very broad paintbrush to try to capture a narrow but growing segment of the economy.
Well, and I think as you go ahead.
Yeah, so we feel that thematic investing is really taking a much finer brush to the markets and trying to find, these quickly growing niches that, over time might become their own sector or at least their own industry within a sector as the backward-looking committee members start to realize the importance of this space.
I was just going to say, as you described all that, I think it's reflective of the way GlobalX categorizes thematic ETFs, because I know you have three broad categories. There's disruptive technology, people and demographics, and then the physical environment. And then within that, there are multiple what are called mega themes. And so, for example, under disruptive technology, you'll have big data, which may include cloud computing, or mobility, which could include autonomous vehicles. And if you look at people and demographics, that's the new consumer, right? You may have products focused on millennials or cannabis or sports betting. And then the physical environment, perhaps that could be climate change, so clean energy. And so I think that's an interesting way to think about it in contrast to the traditional sector classifications. But before we get to some specific GlobalX ETFs, can you just describe the overall role of thematics in a portfolio? Where do you see these fitting?
Well, because we're trying to identify structural disruptions across the global economy, what we're really doing is trying to enhance the growth characteristics of a portfolio. So if you're looking at thematic investing, first and foremost, I think it is a way to enhance the growth of a portfolio. The way we tend to see people use them is, people still have their core parts of their portfolio, which, have more broad exposures to equities or fixed income. But increasingly, people are carving out a satellite portion of their portfolio that they might be calling a thematic bucket or thematic growth bucket or opportunistic bucket, where they're putting in three, four thematic ETFs as a way of enhancing the growth of the overall portfolio and trying to get diversification across a few different themes.
Do you think there's a what I'll call a behavioral aspect here? So I've mentioned this on the podcast previously. I've noticed thematics can actually help investors stay on track. And the way I would describe this is, let's say 95% of an investor's portfolio is in a broad-based, well-diversified portfolio, and then they have 5% in thematics. I found that 5% allocation can actually help investors stay invested in the other 95% because they feel like they have some upside and they're typically investing in areas that they care about or find exciting. As I've talked to investors, I think many investors do have some semblance of what I'll call a gambler inside. They want to have something they can talk about at cocktail parties, but they know they shouldn't be doing that in the whole of their portfolio. And so, again, I found that if, let's say, 5% is allocated to thematics, that can actually help keep them on track in the other 95%. Do you think there's anything to that?
I think there is. I mean, what we're really talking about here is the relatability of thematic investing to your average investor. So I think there's no secret that financial education across the world is really substandard. Most people do not have a great handle of finances, personal finances, paying down debt, saving, investing, a lot of these concepts. And so when you go to your financial advisor and they start talking about a value manager that's looking at price to book and price to earnings ratios and trying to capture value, a lot of investors, it doesn't resonate with them. It's not something they're very familiar with. They can't really relate to that concept. However, with thematic investing, investors are seeing these themes play out in front of their eyes on a daily basis. So if you're looking at lithium and battery technology and driving in a car in San Francisco, you're seeing Teslas on pretty much every single street. If you are investing in e-commerce, you might see that you are often ordering your own groceries or or electronics or healthcare products online. And so you're experiencing that investment in real life. And I think that's a huge positive, especially in light of this environment where people have, you know, kind of substandard financial education, because it gives people a way to relate their portfolio to their everyday life. And I think that helps people stick to their investment plan to be more emotionally invested in their portfolio as well, tracking these themes much more closely.
All right, so let's talk about some specific GlobalX ETFs. Right now, the five biggest buckets in thematic ETFs overall are cloud computing, clean energy, artificial intelligence and automation, cybersecurity, and healthcare innovation. I actually want to start with that last category, healthcare innovation, because at the end of July, GlobalX launched the telemedicine and digital health ETF, ticker symbol EDOC, EDOC, which I checked yesterday. This is already one of the top 10 new ETFs this year, nearly $400 million in assets, which to me is remarkable. What does this hold, and what do you think is driving the interest?
Sure. Well, so EDOC is looking at kind of all aspects of the digitalization of the healthcare space. So you include telemedicine stocks that are helping connect patients with their doctors remotely, so you don't have to go into a clinic or a hospital in person if you don't need to. It includes wearables that are allowing doctors to track their patients remotely as well, monitoring things like heart rate, insulin levels, adherence to certain drug regimens. It includes what we would call administrative digitalization, which are companies that are helping the back office of hospitals try to get more efficient. And it also includes healthcare data providers that are collecting data across thousands or even millions of patients and trying to use that data to develop better understanding of medicine and improve outcomes for patients. So taking a step back, if you really think about the healthcare space, you see some unbelievable innovation. I mean, what we're seeing in genomics right now with personalized medicine and advanced treatments is nothing short of magic compared to, you know, where we were 50 years ago. Similarly, if you look at how robotics are being used in surgeries now to be able to, you know, do more precise, less invasive surgeries than ever before, it's stunning. But on the other side of healthcare, you have a very old school industry that has really failed to evolve over the last few decades. You know, the way that the doctor's notes still fail to be fully captured digitally and stored in a central area where patients can access it, where other healthcare providers can access it, where it could be anonymized and combined with other data. It's not doing what it's doing. It's still stuck in basically 1980s digitalization. So we think there's a huge opportunity across the healthcare sector to bring it to the 21st century, to, you know, have the Amazon effect or the Google effect on the healthcare sector, where it's largely dependent on data and data collection and analyzing that data across patients. And that's effectively what EDOC is trying to do. It's capturing those companies that are really assisting in that digital shift within the healthcare space. Within COVID-19, we saw an acceleration of this, which was the use of telemedicine.
That's what I was going to ask you. Okay.
You know, doctors were telling their patients, you know, don't come into the hospital. It's too dangerous to come in right now with how much, you know, COVID-19 risk there was. So what you saw was that really accelerated the shift to telemedicine, where patients were increasingly connecting with their doctors via video chat, essentially. And we think that's going to accelerate in the future as well.
It's just so interesting because, again, it fits into what you were discussing at the top with the pandemic accelerating some of these trends and driving interest around some of these thematic spaces. And I guess on that note, another ETF you've had tremendous success with is a cloud computing ETF, ticker CLOU. So this launched in April of last year. It's now over $1.3 billion in assets. It's also up nearly 60% this year. Talk a little about this ETF.
Well, cloud computing has been kind of the one of the technologies that has really kept the economy on track during COVID-19. I mean, as we mentioned before, people went from working in their offices to working at home. They went from, you know, socializing in person to socializing via social media and through video games and esports. And the commonality between all those things is cloud computing, which has facilitated those connections remotely. So I'm sure many listeners on the phone right now have become very familiar with services like Zoom that allow for video conferencing with teammates or clients. CRM systems like Salesforce, which allows them to access client data and anywhere on any device. And that has really been a trend that has been going on for a few years as we see more and more companies try to facilitate remote access to data and software being delivered over the internet rather than through a CD-ROM. But with COVID-19, a lot of companies didn't have a choice. All of a sudden, everyone had to access all of their data and all of their software remotely. So we saw a huge jump up in customers and spend on cloud computing services. And we think this is a long-term shift that is unlikely to reverse anytime soon. I mean, even if we get a handle on the COVID-19 pandemic and you start to see infection rates going down, we still think work from home is going to play a much bigger role in the economy going forward. And using cloud computing services like software as a service delivered over the internet is going to be a very key part of enterprise software going forward.
Jay, just a couple minutes left. One more ETF I want to be sure to ask you about, just because I covered this topic earlier. Cannabis and the Global X Cannabis ETF, ticker symbol POTX, P-O-T-X, which, as I'm sure you're aware, this has been a really tough space. The performance here has been highly challenging. Any quick thoughts on the prospects moving forward?
Well, the interesting thing about cannabis as a theme is, you know, many of the themes we already talked about are mostly driven by technological breakthroughs and changing consumption patterns. So cloud computing has advanced so much over the last few years where it's just very seamless to be able to video conference with people all around the world. You've seen, obviously, the shift for people being more comfortable using video conferencing. But when you look at cannabis, it's a market that has existed for quite a while, just purely in an illicit space. So the biggest driver of cannabis from an investment perspective is just the regulatory acceptance of cannabis. Should it be approved at more, you know, state levels? Should it be decriminalized at the national level? Will other countries follow in legalizing recreational cannabis sales? So it's one of the most policy-driven themes that's out there, which gives it a lot of uncertainty. But at the same time, it's a proven market. It's basically a $200 billion global market that's just being, you know, largely conducted in illicit spaces. So should that policy start to become more constructive on legalizing cannabis, there's a very large, very proven market out there that could, you know, quickly, you know, shift to more legal channels. So that keeps us very bullish on cannabis. However, we'll certainly learn a lot more after November 3rd.
No, completely agree. I keep saying the same thing, that this is really all dependent upon the regulatory environment. And if that shifts, then you can really see, obviously, a huge tailwind behind this entire space. Jay, before I let you go, I know you're not going to give away your secret sauce there at Global X, but I mentioned the very quick success of EDOC and your cloud computing ETF. I saw your video game ETF, Hero, H-E-R-O, that launched about a year ago, already near $400 million in assets. And I know not every thematic ETF you've launched has been a hit, but I look at the ETF space, it's a cutthroat world. And to me, Global X does seem to have found a recipe for success here. Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Well, when we evaluate a theme, there's three things we look at. We look at our conviction behind the theme. Do we believe that it's going to disrupt huge parts of the global economy? We look at the investability of the theme. Are there publicly traded equities that have high exposure to the theme? And we look at the time frame. Is this something that's going to play out in the short term, or is this something that is going to be a structural trend that evolves over the next few decades? And when we evaluate our themes that hit on conviction, investability, and time horizon, and launch those in an ETF, they tend to be pretty successful. I think probably the biggest differentiator between Global X and some of our competitors is that we really are laser focused on that investability criteria. I mean, you can tell when you look under the hood at ETF, they might all have a very similar name. They might all sound like robotics, or they might all sound like video games. But when you look under the hood and see what the holdings are, you can see there's a very wide range in the portfolio construction. And we've been very laser focused on providing targeted exposure to companies that are really deriving the majority of their revenues from the theme. So that's just giving laser-like focus to a specific theme. And I think that's what investors are looking for, so that there's less overlap with the rest of their portfolio and that they can fully participate in the growth opportunity for the theme.
Jay, great insight this week. Again, congratulations on all the success. And I certainly look forward to visiting again soon. Thank you.
Thanks.
That was Jay Jacobs, head of research and strategy at Global X ETFs.